Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Valiente, retired police officer, 36 years, former commander of the Special Events Unit, joins us. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good morning, all. It's a sad morning, given what transpired last night. But by happenstance, my wife knew someone who the next lieutenant said she wanted to attend. It was a beautiful night, so I said, yeah, let's do it. And we ended up at Valmont and Magazine, which is pretty much at the beginning of the parade. And the Droege parade passed, and then the next parade passed. And as it did, the crowds became heavier and heavier and heavier. And, of course, what happens when the crowds become five and six deep, like they were at that location, they tend to surge forward. Right. They never surge back. They always surge forward. Well, what I did notice last night, and this was the main one of the main reasons for my call, was that there were three police officers that were stationed at Magazine and Valmont, and the entire time for both parades, they were constantly working the crowd. They had their vest on. They were visible. They were always between the parade and the crowds. When the floats would stop, the crowds would surge full forward against the floats, which is not safe. But once the floats started to move, the police officers would ensure that the people would back up so that they wouldn't fall and get trapped under the float. And I was impressed by that because it's been a while since I've been working the streets, but that's exactly what they were supposed to be doing. And on top of that, on three different occasions, I saw their sergeant, which was their supervisor, who typically walks a 4 or 5 block route, stopped in to check on them and talk to them and, you know, make sure that they were there and give them any additional information. Then I saw a captain later on, or a commander, couldn't tell because he had his vest over his epaulets, and he was working the scene, I guess, checking on his supervisors. Point is, I was extremely impressed because New Orleans Police Department, they were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. But my next point is that when those floats stop, they don't always stop in front of a team of police officers. And sometimes they may be 2 or 2.5 blocks away from a team. Maybe not that far, maybe like a block and a half. Point is, at that point, this is where the public needs to exercise good judgment. And unfortunately, tragically, that woman that tried to go between those two tandem floats and tripped over that connection. You know, once that float started moving, those floats weigh tons. I mean, tons.
And there's no way of knowing that somebody's there. I mean, because the tractor driver, there's not a series.
Has absolutely no rear vision.
Has no rear vision. There's no, camera system to warn them. There's no sensor because they would be defeated, so many times during the parade. You wouldn't even, it would be meaningless at the end of the day. So it's a tough situation from that perspective as well. Joe, I had heard that from some other folks that had been out there that the response by the NOPD and NOFD in the aftermath of the incident was remarkable as well.
It absolutely was. I was thoroughly impressed. I ran parades for 12 years. I probably have thousands of hours on a parade route. And listen, Noel, during a parade, the battle is won with the route personnel and the support from EMS and fire, period. Those officers that are on the route working the crowds, they're doing 99.9% of the work. And I heard exactly the same thing, and I saw the same thing. And I'll give you a good example. When the accident occurred, we were waiting for float 30. Float 29 was in front of us. So I finally told my wife, something must be broken up there. Let's go walk back and see your friend. Well, by the time we'd gotten back there, there were already two police officers that were stationed in the middle of the tandem float, making sure that nobody crossed over. That's good situational awareness on the commander's part to advise his people, hey, listen, this is just what happened. We don't want it to happen again. So there were a lot of good things that the New Orleans Police Department did right last night.
That is You know, my wife rides in a crew, and they have a very similar route as Nick's, and that's a tough area, is it not?
It is brutal. It is.
You know,
it is,
because
it's a tight area.
It's not very wide. It's a two lane. Not much of a shoulder. It's just a tough area. Big floats too. I mean, you know, and
lots of families also with small children.
Well, because it's at the beginning of the parade, and you know what you see, and you know this better than most, is that the beginning of the parade has the most pressure because people want to get home. These kids have school the next day; they want to see the parade. It's a big event.
Exactly.
It's not just one parade; it's multiple parades. So it's something more than a 45-minute gig. It's a good two and a half, three-hour gig, and that's what brings the crowds out. You know, because you know when you think about all the junk you carry out to a parade route and everything that goes along with it, especially when you have young kids, you want it to be worth your while. But by the same token, the beginning of the parade actually could possibly be one of the most dangerous parts of the parade, quite frankly.
It is. I think that's when the people or the crowds are the most excited about catching bees, because they want to catch some bees and put around their necks, or it's the parade just starting. And you're 100% correct. As the parade wears on, the crowds have a tendency to become less excited about it and a little more careful, I would think. I will say this. I want to say two things also. I thought the Knicks throwers were incredibly responsible. I was watching them, and they were throwing very few throws down close to the float. They may have handed a few things, but for the most part, they were throwing their throws at least 10 feet back. So I have to commend Julie Lee that she must have given her crew members or her float lieutenant some instruction, because it became apparent it was happening with every float.
Yeah.
And so,
I don't know about you. I've never had much success with getting right up against the side of a float, even in uniform.
You know what? You're 100% right. The rider's wearing a mask. They've got very little downward vision, if any. And then when you're up against the float, I've seen people, parade goers, screaming at someone they knew that was 10 feet away or 6 feet away, and the person between the noise and the vision couldn't actually locate them. You're actually better off if you're 6 or 8 feet further back.
Yeah.
A great point.
No, I would agree. You know, it's just, I don't know if you saw the presser last night. You could see the emotion in the chief's face, and mm-hmm. you could just see that, you know, everybody was down, and you know the compassion. You're out of the business now. I'm out of the business now. It just brings up, you know, that those same emotions that you probably had to deal with in your career, and I've dealt with mine. And you just feel, you know, for the men and women that are out there working that scene.
Well, I was very close to this because in 1981, I was a motorcycle officer, and I was assigned to the Disband Area Zulu at the Municipal Auditorium. And I was literally 5 feet away from the little three-year-old who was pushed under the float and was run over. And we pulled her out. And that left a mark on me in the sense that it made me realize just how dangerous these parades, these floats can be if you don't maintain a safe distance. Then, years later, I was in the Endymion disband area, and I was about 25, 30 feet away from the gentleman who fell off the float, and then he was run over also. So these floats are extremely heavy. The tractor drivers cannot see what's going on behind them, and, you know, the crew members also have to exercise a tremendous amount of caution. But when it happened last night, it really stirred up, you're right, it really did stir up a lot of feelings about those two events that occurred. And I felt bad for the police department, because I said, wait a minute, I've analyzed this carefully. They've done everything by the book. And I have to commend Sean Ferguson and Paul Noel, because he's the chief of operations. They must have really done a good job at briefing their people before the parade for the route personnel, because they did it right. They were doing everything by the book, Newell.
Absolutely. I mean, I got that sense, and I, you know, spoke to a few folks and, you know, about it. I was watching it on TV. Was supposed to be at the parade actually last evening, but had a special hospital board meeting, so I wasn't able to make it. Our plans was to go out and see Nick's because it's a great parade. We truly enjoy it, and you know so. But Joe, thank you for joining us. You bring an insight, and I'm glad you were there and you were willing to share the story, with us. And it's just a reminder because we're just really starting. Although we had Mardi Gras last weekend, this is the big, big weekend, right? And the momentum leading up to
Absolutely.
Tuesday is just incredible. My wife actually will be riding tonight in Muses, and she and I will ride Monday night in Orpheus, and we're looking forward. To that as well. And
For all your listeners, New Orleans has NOLAReady.com, and that is an incredible website, and they will be able to get all the safety information that they need from that website. And it's NOSEP and Colin Arnold have done a fantastic job with that website at making it extremely informative and good tips. And Mardi Gras is a special time. They don't do this really anywhere else in the world the way we do it, and it's culturally ingrained in us from the time that we're like infants, and we need to keep it alive. We need to make sure that it's safe and it's fun, and that's why I called. And Noel, again, I've told you this before, but I applaud you for having a platform for people like me can call in and make these comments and reach out to so many people.
No, I appreciate it because I think it's important to have this. A reminder, this gut check, a very tragic situation, but
it was.
It just reminds us that we have our loved ones out there, we have ourselves. You need to take care of that. You need to be self-aware at all times. You want everybody to have a great time, and it is a wonderful time. It's the best free party in the world, bar none. And,
absolutely.
You know, we just got to understand that these things, you know, when you think about the size of these floats, they actually are bigger than 18-wheelers. I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
No, you're right. Absolutely. And they're weighed down with tons of beads and throws.
Right. And, you know, when you think about I've one of the few things, Joe, and you'll appreciate this, that I miss as sheriff is riding with the motorcycle gang group. During Mardi Gras. You probably saw me out there for a number of years, but I absolutely.
I remember you.
I absolutely adore doing that. And I tell you, I'm having withdrawals right now, of not being able to ride. Joe Valiente, thank you so much for calling in, my friend. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Noel. Thanks so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.